You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking. And the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
All right, everybody, this is the Man Therapy Podcast, and I am one of your hosts, Dan Johnson, sitting across from me in the same town. We had a debacle,
a snafu,
a technical issue where the audio on your computer doesn't work. And yeah. Now, I don't know. Have you ever been like I used to get really frustrated with things like this, but now I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Whatever,
yeah,
dude.
Exactly. Yep. I'm sick of being frustrated with technology. It's like, It's now I just accept that, like, sometimes it'll just not work for absolutely no reason in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just used to getting burned, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
That's my, right. That's the weirdest, it's one of the biggest things that's annoying about, having my own, like being self-employed versus working for someone else is like, I don't have an IT department anymore.
Right.
When I work for the university, I'd be like, hey, my microphone's not working.
Right.
And then just some nerd would show up and fix it.
Yeah.
And I mean that nerd in an endearing way. The guy would just show up. He'd run through all these screens that I've never seen, open up all these control panels I've never seen. And then it'd just be like, here you go. I'm like, cool. Thanks, man. But now I'm tech support.
Yeah. The only thing I used to know back in the day before I have on a PC is like, if there was a problem, hit control alt delete. And then it'll restart your computer or bring up your task manager, and then you shut everything down and you bring it all back up again. And usually the problem was fixed. So
That's right.
If it goes past that, then I got to take my computer somewhere to try to get some professional to look at it. So
same. That was the depth of my ability as well. Task manager. Force close everything.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So the last handful of episodes have been extremely, I think they've been good, like really good, clean episodes. They've been really serious. But here's the problem. We're not serious guys.
I know.
All the time.
I know.
And so today I was like, dude, I don't know if I have it in me to like get in depth about some topic and really dive into it, especially knowing that probably the next 2 weeks we're not going to launch an episode because of Christmas break and activities and things like that. So I think we're just going to have a lighthearted, fun, dude-typed focus conversation. And I think I have the perfect question or the perfect place to start it off.
Let's hear it.
All right. Did growing up, did your dad ever have, like, did he ever do something that just annoyed the shit out of you? And you're like, and then you're like, God, this thing annoys me so much. Or maybe he has a mannerism or the way he presents something or conversations or things like that. And then recently I have caught myself doing the exact same thing or mannerism that he used to do that used to get me really annoyed.
One thing that my dad always did is just being like a little not sarcastic, but God, I'll have to think of the word. He'd be like, "Oh, he's a little condescending sometimes."
Yeah,
and I catch myself being condescending too, like a little passive aggressive.
Oh, that hurt.
You know, like
it?
If there's a disagreement. Like if there's a disagreement, he's like, "Oh, okay." Mm-hmm. You know, like that, like a little dismissive.
Yeah.
And I catch myself doing that. Also, I think I used to, like, I wonder if other kids or if other people connect to this. When my brothers and I'd be playing inside the house on the average day, we would hate to hear like the door open and my dad coming in, because we knew that meant he was going to like ask us to do something. Like we wanted him to just like go outside for the day and stay outside. Cause if he came in, it usually meant like, "Get your shoes on. I need you to come out and help with blah, 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 blah." I'm like, "Oh no, here comes dad," you know? And he'd come in and he'd be like mad and pissed off and like, "Get out here right now," and that sort of thing. And I thought, geez, what the hell's wrong with him? And now as a parent, I'll come in sometimes like, "Oh, come on, you guys need to da 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 da." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." I have a greater appreciation for like just my dad's baseline stress that he was probably under and what it's like to see your kids just laying around all day long when you're like trying to get shit done. And like, you're just trying to like ask them to do the smallest thing and they're full of groans and eye rolls, and that just pisses you off even more.
Oh, so, dude.
Yeah. The older I get, the less I think I was a little angel, and the more I'm like, "Oh yeah, like he was probably already irritated. He was coming in at a 7 and I was just like watching cartoons."
Yeah, exactly. It's like, especially for the farmer or the factory worker or the guy who not only has a mentally stressful job, but an extreme physical demanding job too. So I get that, right? They just come in, they see their children playing video games. Or it's like, I've been working my ass off all day and I asked you to do one thing and you couldn't do that one thing. Are you kidding me? You know?
Oh yeah.
And my mom would get so pissed at me. So did I ever tell you this story about my mom punching me in the chest?
I don't think so.
Okay. So my mom would always write down a list of things that me and my brother had to do. And this was after my parents were divorced. So there'd be Daniel and Mark, "Please do this, you know, please make sure this list is done before I get home." So she would leave for work at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. We'd wake up in the summertime.
Yeah.
If we didn't have to get ready for school, you know, and then one day, you know, me and my brother just screwed around the whole day. We didn't do anything around the house. And then I think my brother's job was to like unload and load the dishwasher or sweep the kitchen floor. And then mine was to mow the yard.
Yeah.
And so I had nothing going on and I was I did not mow the yard. My mom comes home from work. She pulls in the driveway and I'm like, "Okay, now I'm going to go to my friend's house who has a swimming pool and all of my friends are going to be there." And she's like, "Why didn't you mow the yard?" And I'm like, "I'm going to my buddies to go swimming now." She's like, "No, you're not." And I'm like, and I was just like, "No, I'm going fucking swimming." Like, right. I talked to her like a grown man and she leaned back. I must have just been a bad day at work and just chest punched me right in the chest. And I was like, and at this time, you have to remember, I'm already probably 6 foot tall. And, you know, I weigh more than my mom. And she's like had zero. So I'm not going to call what she did abuse because she got her point across. And she just chest punched me. And I was like, yes, ma'am, I'll go mow the yard. You know, like,
yeah, that's right.
So yeah. Then I mowed the yard. And then I, at that, then I had to go do a whole bunch of other chores throughout the rest of the, you know, the rest of the evening and then, until it was bedtime. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, it's like you learn sometimes as kids, we have to learn the hard way. And I know that my kids, dude, something about my kids. I have this long fuse, right? Hey, please do this. Please do this. Please do this. And then they just don't even listen to me until I am irate, anger threatening their lives. Blows me away. Then they'll do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just waiting for that. Like, yeah, they'll ignore all the nice. I've told my kids so many times, like, they're like, oh, I don't like when you yell at me. I'm like, nice doesn't work. Nice doesn't work on you. Like, I always start with nice and it doesn't seem to work. You don't care when I'm nice.
Yeah.
You don't do any of it.
Yeah.
My brothers and I, it would be the same. Like my mom would be out running errands. She'd leave my brothers and I home and she'd say, give us a list of things that needed to be done. And oftentimes it's just the dishes. Like just, I want the dishes done by the time I get home. And so it's me and two brothers. And we didn't have a dishwasher. So we worked out a system. There were three positions. There was washer, rinser, and putter awayer.
Okay.
And obviously washer sucked the worst because you're the one doing all the work. Then rinser, you're just in the middle. You just get to rinse. Then the rinser hands it to the putter awayer who goes and puts it in the strainer.
Yeah.
And so we would often like just jack around and do nothing until we saw her minivan pulling in the driver like, oh shit. And then we jump up and then you start scrubbing. And when she comes in, we're all trying to like look really busy. Like, oh yeah, boy, there was a lot of dishes today.
Yeah.
But she'd be, if she came in and those dishes weren't done, boy, she was pissed.
Oh yeah.
It was a funny thing too. I really connect with you around like being bigger than your mom, but she just like holds this mom power. Mm-hmm. Dude, my mom is she's not big. She's really short. She's little. And she had three sons and dude, she didn't take any shit and she didn't hit us, but boy, she could get like, you don't want to make her mad. And I don't know to this day why that worked so well that she could just like give a look or dude, she'd put us in timeout forever. Mm-hmm. She carried a bar of soap in her purse, had a bar of soap in her van. We had soap at home, obviously. And if we like talked back or said a swear word or something, boom, it was soap in the mouth. And she could too. Like it's really wild to think that small woman could like shove soap in my mouth. I don't know how she did it. Like, dude, I could take like, you know, I could stand up for myself. I could take a kid my size and probably bigger than my mom. And dude, she could just get that soap in your mouth.
It's like she knew jujitsu or something like that.
Oh, dude,
soap
for
jiu-jitsu.
Real.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious if in the UFC you were allowed like one bar of soap. You got to shove the bar of soap in your opponent's mouth and then the match is over.
That's funny.
My mom would have won that. She'd be a world champion, undefeated world champion, getting that bar of soap in a kid's mouth.
We didn't have the soap thing per se. We didn't do the soap thing, but we did. We had the yardstick and wooden spoon where if we were naughty enough and the spankings didn't work, then there would be escalated to like a yardstick across our butt or a wooden spoon across our butt. And I can remember a time when me and my brother were fighting real hard and my mom pulls out the wooden spoon and smacks it across the kitchen table or the kitchen table or the counter or whatever. And nothing happens. Right. And then she grabs me and she goes to spank me with it, but the counter had already broke it. So when she hit my butt with it, it broke and I laughed at her and she's like, okay. She goes, no TV or Nintendo for the rest of this month. And I'm like, oh, please, I'll do anything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh, no Nintendo, I can't handle it. Oh, you know, like just lost my mind. Just lost my mind. And so, I've had to do that. Yeah. I've had to do that where, dude, you know, I've taken away the iPads and like, you know, I look back and I definitely have not spanked my kids as much as my parents spanked me. My dad never spanked me. My mom was the disciplinarian in the house. And so
I can remember spanking my daughter one time because she was throwing a fit and she wanted something at a store. And I was just like, maybe she was four or something like that. Like, and it wasn't like, it was just a whop on the back. And I'm like, basically just to get her attention.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that is enough of this. And then I pulled her out of the store or whatever. And I think I've only had to do it a couple times with my oldest boy, but I think my youngest got lucky. By the time he was born, I was kind of over the spanking thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So.
Yep. Yep. I didn't think I got spanked some when I was a kid. My dad had no part of discipline. I know my mom spanked us sometimes. I think I've told you the story about how we were misbehaving at my grandma's house and she spanked us with like the softest house slipper ever. And so she's spanking us and it like doesn't hurt at all. You can barely feel it. And we're going, oh God, no, no, oh God, stop. You know, she must have known that it didn't hurt. She's just whopping us with this like sack of cotton, you know, it's just nothing. Yeah. That's funny. But I didn't ever think I was going to spank my kids. And then being a new parent, you know, my daughter's probably three and just, you know how they get when they're just not listening and they're so obstinate and they're going to tell you and all this stuff. And I lost my temper on her one time. And I didn't know what else to do. And I spanked her and she just looked up at me like, how could you like mm-hmm. betray? Like didn't, it just never occurred to her that that was a possibility that I would ever hit her or hurt her physically. And I'll like never forget the look on her face. And I was like, it just like stopped me in my tracks. I was like, oh my God, I'm not a spanker. I don't want to spank. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like that felt like total shit to see that look on her face of like, you would hit me. Mm-hmm. Cause it wasn't the manipulative. It was just the purest reaction. She was just in shock that I would hurt her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh fuck, I did. I just did that. I don't like that at all. So I stopped. I think I spanked her one time. I might have spanked my son one time and had the same like, God, no, what are you doing, dude? It just, because it doesn't help. I realized I was mad.
Yeah.
And I also realized it was for a lack of skill, you know, patience in my parenting. So that spanking thing.
Yeah, it's a tricky, slippery slope to climb. But I will say this, what I've done so far, and you know, there's no real roadmap for parenting your children. You know, like it's 100% trial and error. All these kids have different temperaments. Like each one of my kids have a different personality. Like my youngest boy, I can literally just look at him, and he'll change his behavior. My oldest boy, I have to get involved to settle him down. And then the only thing that I have to do with my oldest, my daughter, is just explain to her in more detail why her behavior is unacceptable at this moment. And throughout the course of all of this, though, here's what I've realized. Even when I punish them and I take something away or I get angry at them, they still come to me and want to sit on my lap or hug me or, you know, hang out with dad or do something. So that tells me that I haven't gone overboard yet, if that makes sense. Which, though there's times where I felt like I've exploded on them, and maybe, I mean, I haven't spanked in like shit, 6 years probably. I haven't spanked a kid in 6 years. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I just feel like it makes me feel better knowing that I have really good relationships with my kids, even though there's times where even I feel like I don't necessarily want to say I lose control, but it is a loss of control because the only way to get the control is for you yourself to lose control. So I don't know. It's difficult sometimes.
Right. No, I hear you. I think similarly, I think I've put enough deposits into the bank account that when 100%. I, you know, get angry that I'm not like overdrawing. I also think it's, you know, it's interesting because we like I've seen you with your kids, you're extremely active, you know, you play with them a ton and you're involved in all of their stuff. And like, you're happy to play. If they're like, hey dad, play catch with you. You're like, yep. You know, if they want to do anything with you, you say, yep. Dude, yep. I didn't play with my dad at all. Like, I had no, yeah. I didn't have a template for what it was like to, like, interact with your kid. And so I'm, like, figuring that out. And when my kids get older, I hope that they have, that I hope that they feel like they have a better template for what it's like to have a dad or a husband be involved with child rearing.
Yeah.
You know? So I think for all the times, like you're not just the heavy hammer. You're also dad, you know?
Right.
I think parents, like people in our parents' generation, I think a lot of times the dad was the heavy hammer and he didn't really get involved too much until it was like, till the wife said, honey, come here. And then he'd come in and like drop the hammer and that was it. But yeah, it's like we play with, I play with my kids a lot. You play with your kids a lot. That probably is why they still want to crawl up on our laps and they still want to play with us and all that, even though we yell at them sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another rando question for you. If I was to ask your wife, what is one thing about you that annoys her the most? What do you think she would tell you?
Yeah. I would like to hear her answer to that question. Actually, there's probably lots of things. One thing that I can think of off the top of my head is that she would say I'm really particular. Like I'm kind of a perfectionist and I'm really particular. And like, there's like a running joke between her and her son, my stepson, he's 25. They have this running joke that I'm like always watching. I'm always watching them. And I have to admit it's basically
that's creepy.
True.
That's creepy.
It's there for a reason. Yeah. I don't sit and stare at them. I just mean like when they're doing things, I think I do this to like everybody, but when anybody's doing anything, I'm just like watching to see how they do it and see if they do it right.
Yeah.
I don't even mean to. I just recognize it. Like I'm so particular that when somebody's doing something, I'm just like, oh, did they just put that plate in the sink like full of food or did they scrape it off first? And like where I'm coming from with that is like, if you didn't scrape your plate before you put it in the sink, like guess who's going to have to clean that up? Me. Yeah. And that's usually what it comes down to is like, who's making more work for me?
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be like, hey, like, so I'll try and train them like, hey, do this task like this so that it doesn't screw me over in the long run. Hey, do this task like this so that it doesn't screw me over in the long run. And then they're more likely to be like, I don't know. I just do things however I do them in the moment. And I don't really think about the future ever.
Right.
And so then it's just this big running joke of like, Kyle's always watching. Like they'll, when they're doing something, they'll like glance over to see if I'm looking at them. And I usually am. So they just like, I think it's turned into more of a joke now. You know, a few years ago when he still lived with us and like, you know, when the kid, when her kids were younger, I think is probably more of an actual annoyance, but now it's more of like a joke, even though it's true. I know that about myself. I am always watching to like see if people are doing stuff correctly. How about you? What would your wife say?
I want to elaborate on something you said first about dishes. And I will 100% admit this. There is a specific way a dishwasher needs to be loaded to put the most amount of dishes in it in order to be the most efficient. So dirty dishes just aren't sitting in and you're washing like six cups. Now, when my wife or daughter loads the dishwasher, they just like, it's almost like they just kind of spread stuff out and then there's half of the dishes still in there. And so one thing that I do that I don't want to say it annoys them because they're not doing the work, but I will adjust everything and then put more dishes in it once the dishwasher has already been started. And so that's kind of like a freak thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So. I do that too. I will my wife, I love her to death and she's awesome. We're just like nitpicking right now. But when she loads the dishwasher, it looks like she closes her eyes and just dumps everything in and then slams it shut and walks away. Like she's just, it's just not how her brain works. She's just not organized like that. Like I'm like, oh, look at the way this is built. Like this section is obviously built for these types of plates. Oh, look at this section. It's obviously built for this. Oh, look, why don't you have like all the plates facing the same direction and not like sandwiched together? I'm like, hey, babe, like, how would you guess a water jet would ever hit the surface of that plate? Like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, that's right. It's kind of built so that you want all the surface area exposed, like
right.
stuff like that. Oh, my God.
Oh, dude. I had the She's same so conversation funny. With my daughter yesterday. She puts a pan in, and I'm like, okay, how do you think the water is going to hit this pan if it's positioned like this? I don't know. I'm just like, you got to lay it down flat so that the jet on the bottom comes up and hits it. And she's like, okay. Like it concerned me, but it didn't yeah. concern her. And I was like, ah.
Right. So, right. Well, there's some education that has to happen. It's like, yeah. hey, look, here's all the jets and yeah. here's how they spray. So you can't have like the dirty face of a pan, like pressed up against the side of the dishwasher.
Exactly.
The jet will never hit that. Like yep. there's a chance they think that the whole dishwasher fills up with water and then right. like some magic happens and then it all drains and it's all clean. Like
there's little gnomes.
I don't think they realize how it works.
There's little gnomes that come up into the dishwasher and scrub that's everything right. by hand.
Yeah. They're just, that's their lunch. I would dunk it. You know, if there's like little, have you ever seen, I haven't seen it around here, but I've been in malls before where there's it's like a kiosk in the middle and it's full of fish tanks and benches. And you can sit on a bench and put your feet in a fish tank and the little fish will like come up and like eat the dry skin off your feet, which I think is gross, but it's a thing. I've literally seen it in malls.
Yep.
Dude, if there was a dishwasher that worked like that, I think I would use it.
Yeah. You
just throw all your dishes in there and the little fish just come in and eat everything and it's great for the environment.
Yeah.
I would totally do that.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. That's another thing though, that it go hand in hand with me always watching is like, My wife can hear my heavy sighs from like anywhere in the house. I'm like, oh, if I see that she did something in a way that I wouldn't do it, she's like, what?
Yeah, dude, that's opposite. So like when I see something that needs to be done, I just do it. Okay. I always have to preface these things by telling you and everybody who listens to this that I do truly love my wife. Right.
Right.
Oh, she's one awesome. Of a kind. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she will let you know that she does not want to do a task and she won't say it verbally, but she walks harder on the floor. Like instead, she is 105 pounds ish.
Yeah.
And she walks like she's 300 pounds. Like she stomps like
boom, boom.
And then she'll be unloading the dishwasher and she does it to where like I can open a dishwasher and there's no noise. She yanks it. She's like, so what I've learned is to not say anything about it. And I just ignore it. And which mm-hmm. makes her even more frustrated that I'm not asking her why she's so frustrated.
Oh,
and
it is, dude,
it is almost hilarious.
Oh yeah,
it is almost hilarious. And then
I like, you know,
she'll walk up the stairs with a load of laundry and maybe I've been working all day and she's been working all day, and then but the thing about it, once it's over, then the sighs and the stomping is over. Like I've never met someone who gets so angry and frustrated so quickly at something and then forgets about what they are frustrated with so quickly after it's already done. It just,
that's beautiful.
It's hilarious. I'm just like, why are you getting mad in the first place? If we could skip this, your life would be way better.
Yeah. So, seriously. Yeah. I will say that's one of my absolute favorite things about my wife is, and thank God she transmitted it to both of my kids. And I know it comes from her 100% is she does not hold a grudge. Like if she could be super mad at me, annoyed with me, irritated with me. We can just be irritated and pissy with each other, at each other's throats. Goes to sleep at night, wakes up, just happy as a freaking golden lab. You know, she just is like, it was like memory erase. She wakes up happy again. She never wakes up mad at me. The kids, same thing. They can be all pissed at me when they go to bed. Yeah. They wake up, Daddy! Like, thank goodness. It's a thing that I know I need to like work on with myself, and I've put some work into it of like letting go of shit.
Yeah.
I can hold a grudge for too long and she's really good at like letting that go.
Yeah.
You said your wife doesn't like to Like, she'll make it obvious when she doesn't want to do something.
Yeah, but my she does it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, she does it anyway. My wife doesn't. My wife's version of that, if there's something that she doesn't want to do, she'll be like, do you want to unload the dishwasher or do you want me to? She always asks. If she doesn't want to do it, she asks. Like, do you want to go pick our daughter up or do you want me to? And that's code. That's code for you do it. Like, I'm getting voluntold at that point. You're going to pick our child up or whatever the thing is that she doesn't want to do. She's like, she'll ask if it's just her passive way of doing it. And I've learned to read it. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, you can go ahead. And she's like, funk.
Yeah.
But I usually like, I just know that's code for she doesn't want to do it. So I almost always do that shit. And then the other funny, like, cute quirk about her that I think is hilarious. It's a pain in my ass, but it's endearing, is like, my wife's a very hard worker and she will go, 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 go until she sits down. Like, if she sits down, that's the kiss of death. Mm-hmm. Like, once she stops moving, like, ain't nothing happening then. So she,
exactly.
Once she gets on the couch and she puts a blanket over her, I call it the 1,000-pound blanket. Once I see she's under that blanket, I'm like, oh, you can't possibly get up now. Yep. You're under a 1,000-pound blanket. Like, now once she's under that 1,000-pound blanket, I know I'm doing everything. I'm doing everything the rest of the night.
Yeah.
So I call it her 1,000-pound blanket. And actually, that's a good idea. I should maybe for her birthday or for Christmas next year, I'll customize a blanket that says 1,000 pounds on it.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a 1,000-pound blanket because that's our
With your face on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to answer your question then, I would say the couple things that I think annoys my wife is I do not want to sit here and say that I am a know-it-all about specific things, but there are times when my wife will say something. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. And she'll say, I don't know, she'll say something and then I'll be like, well, actually, right? Yeah. And provide facts. And, yeah, exactly. So just, and then that just really annoys her, right? Just,
oh, man.
That pisses her off. And then the other thing that I think pisses her off the most, and this is actually one of the biggest sources of my frustration sometimes, is, you know how they say, what's your love language? You know?
Yeah.
Dude, my love language is physical touch. All right. Yeah. Whatever. I'm a man, right? And so I will go over and give her a hug, maybe a kiss on the head, maybe slap her, like, not slap her on the butt like I'm some at a truck stop, but just like, you know, caress her, whatever, give her a hug. And if I do that too much throughout the day, she will get pissed at me. She's like, enough of this. We've already done this 100 times. And I'm just like, well, maybe one of these times, maybe you could try liking it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, none of those worked. None of those were sufficient.
Yeah, it'd be cool exactly.
If you hug back.
I'm hugging a statue. So
Yeah.
No, but she would definitely get, those are the things that she gets frustrated with. And there are times where I don't want to say I'm a know-it-all. What's the other part of that? Not a know-it-all, but like,
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Like, I don't want to say controlling, because I'm definitely not in control, but but there's certain things where I will, I don't know, I will put my foot down pretty hard for efficiency's sake and be like, no, that's not how we're going to do it. We're going to do it a different way. And maybe sometimes I should take more L's instead of winning certain situations and just deal with all the aftermath afterwards, if that makes sense.
So boy. I don't know. I'm probably taking enough L's for both of us, so I'm just absorbing. I'm just absorbing your L's.
Yeah, right.
I don't get my way very often. It's like, you know, have you ever heard anybody say like, oh yeah, like my wife wanted it this way and I wanted it this other way, so we compromised and did it her way.
Oh yeah. Yep. Or
100% of the time.
The one that I saw and I got a good laugh at that. It's like, hey, going out to birthday, something along the lines of like, going out for your birthday party. Like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, we're celebrating my birthday by going to my wife's favorite restaurant. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's,
yeah.
We don't have that. We do not make decisions. It's all, everything kind of revolves around trying to make this other individual happy. And so, but that's okay. Like, I look at something like that and I go, that's why we are built the way that we are built. I feel.
Yeah.
And we're built to handle those type of pressure and that types of situation. And I think honestly, that's why there certain men are so like nonchalant about certain things. They don't get worked up about certain things is because they know that by doing so, it will just add more fuel to this proverbial fire that they're the ones going to have to put out anyway. So,
yeah,
right. I don't know.
Right.
It kind of is what it is at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of, it's interesting to see which like classic tropes show up in your marriage of like, you know, when I was a kid hearing like old guys kind of grumble about their wives or like the old guy that's turned into just like, yes, dear. And he just says yes, dear to everything. And like,
yep,
cool. Whatever you want. Like when you're a young guy, you're like, geez, that guy's whipped. Like that's silly.
Yeah.
I'll never be like that. And then go X amount of years into your marriage and see if you're not like, yep, cool. You bet. No problem.
yep,
whatever you want. You bet.
And that's where like, when I got married, I just was joking around with my dad and I was like, hey dude, What's the key to you know, being happily married? And all he said to me was just nod and smile. That's it.
Yeah.
Nod and smile.
Right. Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
just, it's almost like just give up and be married and just give up.
Yeah. It's like, punting is winning, right? Like
exactly.
I give up. Yep. Cool. You can have it. Yep. Whatever you want.
Exactly. Exactly. I look back at before I was married and what like what I thought marriage was really going to be like compared to what it is really like. And it could not have been further from what I thought it was going to be like.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Like, honestly, like, coming from a man's perspective here, I thought, dude, I was like, dude, once I get married, dude, I'm going to be able to have sex whenever I want. Right. Just like, dude, it's on from now on.
Yeah.
Nope.
Found our person.
Nope. That's not how it works. Okay. When I, you know, like, you know, and then you maybe read a book and you're like, yeah, it's this 50-50 thing that we talked about on the last episode. Nope. it's not necessarily 50-50. You know, someone's having to do more of something else throughout a day to get the day to the end, right? Without an argument and things like that. I look back at some of that stuff and now I understand why my dad is just like, nope, non-smile. Let most of it go until, you know, it's a life-threatening situation, then step in and, you know, take care of it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It is pretty humbling. Not necessarily even in a bad way, but it does kind of teach you to let things go. Mm-hmm. Like all the, you know, two people can't be in control at the same time. Yeah. And each person has their own, the things that they're better at. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of partners, male or female, learn like, dude, it's just not worth this battle isn't worth fighting. Some are, but like this one's not. It puts into perspective which battles are worth fighting and which ones aren't. Like the average day-to-day stuff, it's like, yes, dear, you bet.
Yeah. Yep. I there's that. I was going to ask another question about, like, we're coming up on Christmas, okay? Mm-hmm. And you have to go, you said that your in-laws are cool people and you love going out to doing the family. Do you ever have to spend the night at other people's houses?
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And how does that work?
Yeah. It works a lot better now that my kids are older. Like when my kids were younger, it was hard because like kids getting out of their routine is so freaking hard. Mm-hmm. Anywhere but home is really hard. Like anytime we go stay in a hotel or anywhere else, I just know we're all going to get shit sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, again, luckily, like my wife's family is so nice that everywhere we stay, we stay at her dad's house sometimes, we stay at her sister's house sometimes. It's all like super comfortable, awesome, clean houses. Like it's all great. It's just different being, you know, out of your own house.
Yeah.
So that's a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah. So the last time we traveled, you know, we spent for Thanksgiving, we spent the night at my in-laws, and there's not enough beds for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so there's times where I get to sleep on a couch. I have to sleep on a couch. Last time I had to do that. And then the next morning I woke up and my back's all jacked up. Right. Because I'm an old piece of shit.
Yeah.
But now I have understood why my dad always wanted to drive home after all of these things. And it's like, we're 2 hours, 3 hours from home. We could just spend the night, get up in the morning. No,
right.
We're leaving. We're going home.
Good point.
Because even half the sleep in your own bed is better than full 8 hours of sleep on a couch.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes a ton of sense. Yeah, I can see that. And we've done that a number of times too, but yeah, luckily enough, when we go to the in-laws, her side there, we have comfortable beds. Like the cousins will sometimes like sleep on the floor. But they have fun doing that. And when I was a kid, I don't think I minded, like, give me a couple of pillows and a blanket. And I think it's a Ritz-Carlton, you know, but now that I'm in my 40s, like
so you will go to her sister's house and you had to sleep on the floor.
No, I'm saying like the kids will sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
Like I get a bed everywhere I go. I get a bed. Her dad's house and her sister's house. Like they're super accommodating. I feel a little bit bad. Like, so at her dad's house, they just have two extra bedrooms. At her sister's house, they're like crazy nice, but they'll like kick one of their kids out of their room. And like my wife and I will get that kid's bed. And then I think we try to frame it as like, oh, cousins get to do a fun sleepover in each other's room. And so they all like end up like, you know, in one bedroom, and then my wife and I get one of the kids' rooms. So I always feel a little bit bad that I'm kicking a kid out of their room, but also like, yeah, in my 40s, like I'm not trying to sleep on the couch or sleep on the floor. But when I was a kid, that was exciting. You know, it's like, hey, your cousins are over or whatever. Like you guys are all going to have a sleepover on the living room floor. Like, hell yeah. I was there for that. That was super cool. Couple pillows and a blanket. Yeah. And I was like super comfortable.
So my grandma, when I would spend the night at my grandma's house, they lived in this gigantic farmhouse. And upstairs was one, two, three, four, five bedrooms upstairs.
Wow.
Upstairs. Okay. Just a gigantic. And then they had an attic above that. And so, but we, because it was upstairs for most of the year, they just, because they, it was just two of them that lived there. They didn't even go upstairs anymore. And they just shut the door and there was no heat upstairs or there was no air conditioning upstairs. So it was either really hot or really cold. And so when we were young, we would sleep downstairs on the futon, on the Davenport is what they called
it. Oh, yeah. The Davenport.
The Davenport. It pulled out and we'd sleep on that thing. Well, in the middle of the night, my grandpa would get up and he'd smoke like three cigarettes back to back to back. And he would turn all the lights on in the living room, smoke the cigarettes back to back. Me and my brother are hacking our lungs out. And then like trying to go back to sleep after that. He would just rip the cigs, go back. And then we're up coughing for the next 2 hours and until we finally fall asleep. And then, he gets up at 6 a.m. again and starts smoking again with his coffee. And here we are in the living room, just like,
So. Not changing his routine at all because he had company over. Like, heaven
not
forbid
at all.
He steps out on the back porch.
Yeah, or go to the kitchen or some other place where he would smoke. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nope. Just right there in his underwear. Didn't give a shit. So.
Oh, man. That is funny. Yeah, like, that's, yeah. The older you get, the less you care about stuff. You're just like, I'm just setting my ways. I'm just doing whatever.
Yeah. And that kind of comes back full circle to the question I asked, you know, like my dad, I catch myself doing, dude, I don't know what has happened in the last 4 or 5 years, but the things that I give a shit about are very small right now. Like I even find myself being an internal asshole more like you see someone, I don't know, like, something bad happens to somebody and you're just like, who cares? Right? Like, I don't know what it is, but I try to work on it, but like my empathy, if something bad happens to somebody because they did it themselves, I have no patience for people like that anymore. I feel like I'm turning into a bigger asshole every single year. And I feel like that's part of growing as a man. And I don't know.
Well, it's an interesting idea of like letting go of like too much idealism.
Yeah.
Idealizing what other people would do and whatnot. And I mean, the way that I'm connecting with you is I think the older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're going to suffer the consequences of your decisions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And I don't ever wish anything bad on anybody, but like, you know, there's a term that wasn't around when we were kids, but is around now. And I appreciate it. And that term is fuck around and find out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I just don't feel bad for people that I see doing dumb shit and then something bad happens to them. Like, obviously I don't want anyone to get hurt or anything, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, universe is trying to teach you, dude. Like, better figure it out.
Yep.
That was your fault. I'm so much less like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. And more like, yeah, I saw that coming a mile away. I think that's a thing that's changed about me as I've gotten older is I'm so much more of an observer and like, yep, saw that coming. Yep. Could have anticipated that. Yep. I knew that was going to happen, you know, as opposed to like being reactive to like your environment. It's more like, yeah, I saw that coming a mile away. That didn't surprise me at all. That guy got what he deserved. That was stupid.
Yeah.
It's like the guy's got like a wheelbarrow full of horse shit and he's trying to like run it up a board into the back of his truck. He gets halfway up, loses his balance, falls, hits his face on the board and the shit goes all over his back. It's like, yeah, man, good plan. But you're dumb. Like that's what happens to dumb people.
But in a way, that is almost like, Because when I was younger, I had all these dreams and I was like, when I'm this age, I'm going to do this and I'm going to have this and money and blah, blah, blah. And then I think for men, we are in a way hardened or calloused or whatever word you want to throw in there by reality and what reality of a situation actually is with a family and kids and trying to make money to keep the lights on at the house. Our wives are involved in that process too. But I think there comes a time for men where you're just like, I don't want to say numb to certain types of things. It's just like, I'm not going to react in a certain way anymore for whatever reason, because I know that things that just don't affect me or whatever the case is like, it's a big deal to some people, but to me, it's not. And then other people look at that and go, what a heartless son of a bitch. I'm just like, no, actually you're right. I don't care about it, but it's just, this is what happens when you do that, those types of things. And I don't know. Yeah. Like way more calm or things, or, you know, like, cause when I was a newer father, I used to get like almost hyper about how everything should be done, especially with my first kid. I was like, well, you got to do this and you got to have this and you got to do it this way. And now I'm just like, it kind of goes back to this commercial that I saw. And it was a mother walking out of the house. It says first child. And the mom has this gigantic stroller, all these bags, all this, you know, like the milking machine and all this stuff. And she's basically moving out of the house with a whole bunch of stuff. Right. And then it said third child. It skipped to third child. And it was basically her holding the kid with two other kids running out of the house, stuffing her hand in a box of Cheerios and putting those in her pocket and walking out and walking out of the door. And I laughed at that. I'm like, that's not just mothers, but that's just parenting.
Yeah.
After you get past certain phases in life, that's what parenting is now. It's just trying to get by and the reactions just get less and less.
Yeah, dude. No, that's for sure. You get numb, you get kind of desensitized. And also you realize what's important and what's not, like the economics of energy, like what you're going to spend your energy on.
Yeah.
You start to realize like all the fancy shit that you thought you needed, you really don't. You just need a pocket full of Cheerios and pocket lint, and that's going to be enough to get you through. And it's like, whatever. Like I used to try to keep my yard absolutely perfect. I like keeping my yard really nice, but I used to try to keep it perfect. And then, you know, my kids would play on it and like, you know, wear spots thin, and I'd get like worked up about that. And now I'm just like, whatever. Fuck it.
Yeah.
It's the yard is for playing in. Like, what am I doing? Like, I'm the one that's wrong for like trying to keep something nice that I don't think is going to be nice. Now I realize, let them tear it up. Like, I'm not going to let my kids dig holes in the front yard, but like, do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
So enjoy your childhood. Someday you're going to stop playing in the yard, and then I can like take it back over. You know, you're going to move out someday and I'll have my perfect yard. But, you know, there also is something to the idea that if you can have the perfect lawn and the vacuum line stay in your carpet, like, and the living room's never a mess anymore, use the other side of that same coin is that your kids aren't around anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think I've like embraced the chaos and like, I've learned to love it in a way that's more mature than when I was a younger father of like, oh God, don't do that. Oh, be careful with that. Oh, this needs to stay nice and da da da. Like, I still want things nice, but I want my kids to be kids.
Oh yeah.
And I see it differently now than I did when I was a younger parent. Now I'm like, I get it. You're going to like run the hose in that same spot in the yard and turn it into a mud pit. And you know what? Like, fun memory.
Who
gives a shit? I'll fix that someday or not, but like me having a freaking hemorrhage about it is not gonna be good. So go be a kid.
Right, dude. I feel that. My front yard, I think it needs some work though. I had those grubs. It's like a grub.
Oh yeah,
that
I know it
kills all the grass. Because I don't have the issue. I have my driveway is a north facing. So then part of my yard is always kind of throughout the day in the shade. And so I got those grubs that kind of lived in the shady part of my grass. And they killed all the root system down there, where I was able to basically just grab a handful of like dead grass and just pull it up like old carpet.
Yeah.
And so now I have to treat that. But it does kind of look like our front yard at times is a junkyard where there's like just bare dirt in certain spots and drive by and it doesn't match what our house actually looks like on the exterior. It's just like, oh God. And so I don't know. I probably have let my yard go too far this past year. But so now I need to like spread some grass seed on it and take care of it a little bit.
Yeah. Throw down some grub control.
Exactly.
I go to Earl May in Cedar Rapids and they have like a whole lawn care like system. You just pay the price, they give you all the bags of stuff and they give you a calendar for when to put stuff down and just do that and it's all fine.
Yeah.
I need to
do that. And then I got to think of the only other thing like I want to end on real quick. I know we're coming up to time and we're not going to talk until after the new year. So are you a guy who believes in new year's resolutions?
To be honest, no. I'm all for if somebody wants to do it and they actually do it, cool. I think it's like a big catch-all of people like fooling themselves into thinking they're going to make a change and then they don't. And then they actually start their year on like disappointment. They might hit it hard and then it falls off and then they feel like idiots. So I think they really work very well, but I do recognize that it works for some people. Yeah. I don't personally do New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
How about you?
I've tried. You know, I always say, you know, in my head, I got big ideas like, 2026, this is the year I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And then I never do that. Right. And so,
you
know, it's less about a New Year's resolution. It's more about like a lifestyle or a business change that needs to happen or that should happen. And so the big one last year was the not drinking thing for me.
Right.
So I look at that and I'm like, okay, I've been 7 months now without a drop of alcohol. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, dude, that's a victory in 2025, right?
Hell yeah.
If I have another victory like that in 2026, dude, that's a good thing. Right. So I look at it less as like resolutions and more of like trying to have a victory in some way, shape or form. And so I kind of look at it that way.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that can happen anytime. That doesn't have to start on January 1st. I think that's kind of the thing is people shoot for the moon on January 1st and then they bite off more than they can chew and then they end up falling out of it and then feeling worse for it. But I'm all for like any positive change. So yeah, I think 2026 is going to be the year of the six pack for me. I think I'm going to lose 50 pounds, be shredded, and maybe I'll grow my hair back. We'll see.
Is this reality? Are you serious?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, dude. It would take. I mean, actually, it'd be super fun. Maybe I'll get a wild hair that sticks around to like really get back in shape. But there's no way my hair is ever growing back unless it's like some major medical breakthrough. I am
not even
I'm
if
bald,
you
bald.
hold your breath, like you hold your breath
really hard, push it out.
Yeah, push it out. Yep. Okay.
No, it's gone. It's gone, gone. I like it actually. I like being bald. If I had hair, I might shave it.
Yeah.
Being bald, awesome. I don't have to do anything with my hair ever. No bedhead. My hair never gets greasy. It's always the same.
Yeah.
And my head's not weird shaped. My head's like totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. If I went bald, you would see all the scars on my head from my youth, like all the places I got stitches and staples and like there's cracks and bumps all over. Like when I ran into the back, I was bicycling and I was looking down at my pedals and I smoked a parked car and I hit the tailgate on this truck was down and I hit it. And then I slammed into like the back of the car and I didn't. Dude, I have a bump in my head that's still there. It never cut open.
Like
it just like dented
dent
my skull. So like
Yeah.
That's probably the why I have like brain injury. Like I probably have a permanent brain injury is why am who I am. Right. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh man.
Well, I just want to say 2025, you know, since we started this was awesome. Right. Mm-hmm. I think we've covered a lot of really cool things and I'm looking forward to continuing this into 2026. If you, the listener, want to contribute to what we're doing, all we ask is you go to Spotify or iTunes or wherever you download the Man Therapy podcast and give it a rating, you know, let them know how much of like how badass we are. A 5-star review would be great. And that would help us, you know, enter in different algorithms and spread the word of this podcast. So thank you guys very much. Kyle, anything you want to say before we send off 2025?
Yeah. Merry Christmas, bud. Thanks for inviting me to do this. I've had a lot of fun with it. Let's keep it rolling in 2026.
Sounds good. All right. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we will see you in January.
See you, bud.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.